Now, the Bible says that we're to honor our parents always, but we obey them in everything as long as we live under their roof, a part of that family. Jesus said when we're married, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And now we have a new decision-making unit, a new family. And here it says, children, obey. Well, that means to hear from a position of being under. To hear under. My mom must have told the story 100 times or more. When I was just a little guy, 5 or 6, she took me to the doctor. She was convinced that there was a problem with my hearing. And he ran every test that he possibly knew. Got me out of the office and talked turkey with her and simply said that there's nothing wrong with your son's ability to hear. But evidently, he's just dialing you out. And so if a child is going to obey, obviously you got to get their attention, don't you? You have to be able to speak to them in a way that they hear, and then to follow instructions. And please notice, in everything, not just the things that they want to or like to know, in everything. Well, will they ever be asked to do something wrong? I mean, it says in everything. Well, not if the parents are submitted to the Lord and each other. No. But I want you to notice something that is huge. The home is the place to learn discipline and submission to authority. Now, many times, if the home doesn't work, just go get drafted. Sign up for the Army, the Marine Corps. They'll do a good job. You'll learn submission and authority there. And unfortunately, a lot of our kids, they don't learn it at home. If a child does not learn to obey his parents, how do you think he's going to respond to his first grade teacher? Some of you ought to be convicted about this time right now. How are they going to respond to their boss? What about the police, the CHP? You know, how are they going to respond? This is one of the greatest needs of our day, socially speaking. The breakdown of authority in our homes is resulting in a meltdown of authority in our society. Beloved, it is. And if a dad and mom are not under the authority of God, and if they are not in authority in their homes, we got a mess. And what we have today is we have homes that are all child-focused and child-centered and just whatever the kids want. Who runs this place? The toddler? Something wrong with that. You know what we desperately need? We need Christian parents to understand biblically how God says we're to discipline and train and bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is one of the greatest needs. Well, why should children obey? Why? Well, because life works better that way. No. Why should they obey? Because it'll be more peaceful in my home. That's true, but that's not the reason. In fact, I heard about a restaurant just the other day. They don't let small children in anymore. You come with a family, you have small kids, sorry. You know why that is? Because this is such a painful problem in our society. Your kids are out of control. That's why. You can't come in, you got little kids anymore. Oh, you can't teach them that in the restaurant. It's too late, my friend. You got to teach them that at home. Well, why should children obey? Look at the Bible. Children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this, what? It pleases the Lord. That's the ultimate reason. You see, do children create problems or do they reveal problems? I want you to think about that. But what a privilege to be born in a dedicated Christian home where you're brought up in the training and nurture of the Lord. By the way, everybody doesn't have that privilege. Take your Bibles and turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12, and Jesus knew that who he was in his claims as Savior and Lord, he knew that the claims would divide families. I want you to see what he said here. 12:51, he said, do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? Well, he will the second time. He says, no, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be 5 in 1 family divided against each other, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother. Hey, wait a minute. What would make a father divided against his son? And what would make a daughter divided against her mother? And then mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Some of you know real well what it is. I remember years ago speaking to some Chinese Christian young adults. There were about 80 of them at this retreat. And about the second day, I had sensed this. And it never dawned on me, and I should have known this. So I asked them, I said, how many of you are first generation Christians? Over 90% of these Chinese young adults raised their hands. First generation Christians. And they were coming to me asking, how do we honor our parents? Very important in that culture. And yet obey the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, Jesus said that there would be a division. Some children would literally have to defy their parents if they would believe and follow in Jesus. Friend, you may have to choose. In the principle of authority and submission, number one rule is you need to surrender and submit to Christ as Lord of your life. But there's a huge impact that will have in your life. And the first thing that we see is the respect from children that obedience proves. But now notice verse 21. This is the reassurance. It's powerful. It's reassurance from parents that encouragement brings. There's always two sides to every relationship. And our problem is that we always focus on the other person's side. Don't we? And yet we got to focus on ours. Children and parents. But notice please that this word is addressed chiefly to fathers. It says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Embitter, to irritate, to provoke. You know, mothers can do this too. But actually, the greatest danger is to a dad. Why would that be? Because dads usually are more distant. They're out working in a way, and at times they just do. They impose harsh and practical consequences for things. And the idea of embittering, it carries the idea of a continual provoking until you incite your own children to lose heart and to be deeply angry inside. Guys, listen. There's a proverb that says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And I'll tell you, we have to learn that for us. As men, just because we're men, just because we're a dad or a husband, doesn't mean that we can walk in the house yelling and just displaying our anger. No, a soft answer turns away wrath. Whose wrath? How about ours? Bring your voice down. Lower your voice. Take a deep breath. Slow your words down. Maybe you need to count to 10 in another room. Slow it down. Grievous words, your grievous words will stir up your own anger. Don't deal with it. Be careful. Paul says that you can cause your own children to be disheartened, to lose motivation for life. You know, it's one thing to punish wrong behavior, and we must, but it's another thing to break the spirits of your children, and they end up kind of hopeless. And so here's two principles of counsel that will bless your family. One, humble obedience, and you have to teach your children that. But also godly encouragement. You know, and even with these, it doesn't guarantee that if you're raised in that kind of a home, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to choose to follow the Lord. But when godly parents teach children the Word of God and discipline them in love, it gives you as a child a significant head start. Now, if you don't know and follow God's principles and you're a Christian, tell me why you should expect that your family will be any different from all the broken families around. Why? Manufacturer's handbook here. There's another huge area that we want to deal with quickly, and that begins in verse 22. Potential solutions that will grow your business. They really will. Notice how this opens up. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Boy, that's a mouthful. Slaves. We don't face slavery the way Paul did in his world, not at all. One third of the population there were slaves. In fact, if all these people together, maybe most of you are Christians, if we were gathered in that day and age, many of you would be slaves. Maybe this many of you would be slaves right here. Many Christian congregations were made up of slaves. Now, today in our culture, I think these guidelines really fit well with the relationships between an employee and a boss. Well, employees are free to quit. Slaves aren't. And employers don't have unlimited power over their employees. Well, almost in the workplace. But I want to show you how you can have an impact with your life. Where you work. I want you to see when servants use their work as a witness, a platform, a testimony to the Lord. Here's the way you do it. There are five powerful changes. The principle of authority and submission is central, not just in the home, not just husband and wife, not just children and parents, but also in the marketplace. And there are five powerful things that will change in your life. Number one, you recognize the position of authority. You recognize the place, the position of authority. You are to obey your earthly masters in everything. Even when your boss is not a Christian, yep, obey. Follow the master's instructions precisely. I was talking with a businessman here the other day, and he said, you know, there's three ways to do something, Pastor David. I said, how's that? He said, the wrong way, the right way, and the boss's way. Boy, I'll tell you, that's great wisdom. Obviously, you don't want to do things the wrong way if you know it's the wrong way, do you? But there are a lot of well-meaning people that think they have a better way than the boss's way. So they'll just do it what they think to be the better way. No, the boss's way. That's what this says right here. Obey your earthly masters in everything. Comprehensive. Everything under the master's sphere of authority. By the way, notice there is a limitation there. It says your earthly master. So there's only so much authority that he has. You see, our heavenly master has ultimate authority. And when there's a conflict between the two of them, guess which one we must always obey? That's right. And you realize that God has so designed this world to work under authority, just like the home. Now, friend, listen, the real test is not how the boss acts. It's how you react. That's the test. And so, number one, you recognize a position of authority. These are principles that you can have an impact right where you work, so you get them down. Number two, you refuse to work with wrong motives. This is the inward change. You see, you're to obey them in everything, not only when their eye is on you, not only to win their favor. No, when you perform well just to make an impression in your boss's presence, come on. I mean, you're not just doing your duty with a reluctant attitude. That's wrong. You don't just kiss up to your boss when they're present, but then you slack off as soon as he goes out of the room. Friend, that's hypocrisy. That's a wrong motive. And so, really, you want to make an impact where you work as a Christian? You refuse to work with wrong motives. Number three, you respond with a whole heart to the assignment that you've been given. It says, but with sincerity. That means singleness. The Greek is haploti. Singleness of heart. It's used of personal integrity that is expressed by action. It's a singleness of heart, and it's a reverence for the Lord. And it goes on to say that you work with all your heart. You put yourself into it, literally, out of your soul. You ever heard the saying? I know you have. Well, it's good enough for government work. Let's go on. Good enough for the government. Really. In other words, don't worry about excellence. Just be good enough for the low standards of the government. Only do what we can get away with. Really. Let me tell you, there are Christians that work this way. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Our goal has to be excellence. Good enough doesn't cut it. And the fourth change in your life where you work is you refocus. You refocus from horizontal thinking, he's the boss, to your real boss. Paul now takes us deeper into the vision behind the greatest work ethic that you'll ever hear. The greatest work ethic is right here in verse 23. Work as if you're working for the Lord. That's a radical statement. I mean, consider the implications of that. I wonder how many consider, honestly think, how many of you really think you default to it all the time? You know, my real job is making money to provide for the family. Really? I want to tell you, you talk about a huge impact. When we consider that our work is equivalent with our service to God, then we begin to make an impact. Instead of thinking, you know, there's one day to worship God and 6 days to work for our families. No, that's wrong. God says we're to serve Him 6 days and rest one day. Doesn't matter what you do. How are we using our working lives then to serve God? In what sense should we consider God our employer? He's the highest authority. Our place of work might be as an immigrant worker, or it might be as the CEO of a great company, but if our Lord is Jesus, our Lord is the same, isn't He? So it's not so critical what you do. But what is critical is you got to refocus on the real boss. And by the way, I want you to know something. He even pays real wages. Look at verse 24. Since you know. And I'm curious if you really know this. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. If you're a slave, the idea of an inheritance was huge. You receive a promised reward. The reward, it's a repaying, it's a recompense. Because in that day, slaves didn't even earn a paycheck. At the end of the week came, they were lucky to get their room and board. That's what a slave was. You know what God promises to all slaves, to all masters, to all bosses and employees? There is coming a payday someday. A payday someday. Which do you think is most important? Which is most lasting? Which is of greater value? The earthly rewards, the material things, or the eternal rewards? Which is it? The earthly boss may not give a worker what he truly deserves, but friend, God will. God is going to pay them back with grace and generosity. And by the way, look at verse 25. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism, no face-to-face. Oh, I know you. I'll let you slide. No partiality. God is just. A Christian ought to be the best worker on the job. A Christian should obey orders and not argue and not fight. Not constantly push back against his boss. Why? Because he serves Christ, not the boss only. And he works whether anybody is watching or not. And I want to tell you, if you as a Christian follow these kind of principles, impact, and you'll receive your reward from Christ even if the earthly boss lets you down. And by the way, there's one more. Let's talk about the boss. When masters treat their workers with true fairness, you talk about solutions to grow your business. Here it is. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair. You see, Jesus changes the relationship between husband and wife. He changes the relationship between parents and children, between bosses, masters, and slaves. He does. Notice masters are held responsible to provide. That's what it says right here. Provide your slaves. And when we employ people, we take on a responsibility. We do it as a church to help provide for their needs. And we're to do it according to what is right and what is fair. We're not just to pay as little as we can get by with, just as little as we can skip through or the market will bear. No, we're to do it. Why? Because you know that you also have a master in heaven. God is going to judge masters who mistreat their slaves, friend. As God will judge slaves who fail to serve their masters. And so once again, you have these two principles that will change your work environment. Number one, sincere devotion from an employee and honest value from a master. You see, friend, we're equal before God, but it's from this foundation of Christianity that was so indelibly imprinted in the founders of this nation that when our founders sat down and they penned what we call the Declaration of Independence, we read these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are what? Created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, a right that is given to you from God, and the governor or anybody else cannot take it away. Beloved, it's true. Our world is filled with broken relationships. And our world is not short on advice to help you deal with them. Lots of advice. But instead of giving you a long list of worldly wisdom, I'd like to help you discover the only person who can truly make a difference in your marriage, in your family, where you work. His name is Jesus. Amen. See, He's the one that created our ability to relate. By the way, did you notice? All the relationships, if brought under Christ, will change. That's why in verse 18 it says, wives, as is fitting in the Lord. That's why in verse 20 it says, children, this pleases the Lord. That's why in verse 22, servants, reverence for the Lord, working for the Lord. That's why in chapter 4, verse 1, masters, remember, you have a master in heaven. Do you have a master? In heaven, how many of you have a master in heaven? Could I see your hands? A silent testimony? Huh. Each of us are going to stand one day before our master in heaven. We're going to look him in the face, and I wonder what we're going to say then. Well, I believed you died for me. I put my trust in you for the forgiveness of my sins, but then I lived the way I wanted. I asserted myself. You see, the heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. And only God's Spirit, using God's Word, can change and control your heart, my friend.